But it's also a story about two men. One is a beast and he's married to the beauty. Beauty and the Beast. The other is a man after God's own heart, and that's David. You might see him as a knight in shining armor, and boy, what a script for a movie this would be. Abigail, she's really the model of wise womanhood. And we know Proverbs 31 talks about the wise woman, and she really depicts this. And Nabal, her husband, he's a man that you pray your son will never grow up to be, and that your daughter would never ever marry.
As we gather, gather me, we glorify your name, knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kakou e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in 1 Samuel 25 and 26.
We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because.
This is really an interesting story, kind of a little bit of a sidebar now for David and his men on the run from Saul. The story of a woman who's enduring in her home under very difficult circumstances. She's got a very harsh and selfish husband. She's an intelligent and beautiful woman. And if really she listened to the browbeating and the intimidation of her husband, she'd probably feel very insignificant. And you know, I think there are some women today that kind of feel that way. They're married to a guy that just is really hard to live with, and they kind of live under that yoke, and they kind of see their identity through that guy, and they shouldn't. They shouldn't. If he's a big jerk, don't see your identity through him. Abigail didn't. And I'll tell you, there's probably no bigger jerk than Nabal. Nabal means fool, and that's really what he was. But you see, she had her self-worth through the Lord. She saw herself in the Lord. She was a beautiful woman, intelligent woman, and independent in one sense, where she had her own mind, her own self-worth, and her own identity, and yet she lived in a very difficult situation. But it's also a story about two men. One is a beast, you might say. Beast, and he's married to the beauty. Beauty and the Beast. You can really term this chapter 25. The other is a man after God's own heart, and that's David. David, you might see him as a knight in shining armor, and boy, what a script for a movie this would be. I mean, you could really do this up for a movie. Abigail, she's really the model of wise womanhood. And we know Proverbs 31 talks about the wise woman, and she really depicts this. And Nabal, her husband, he's a man that you pray your son will never grow up to be, and that your daughter would never ever marry. And he is really a hard, hard man. And then there's David. David is kind of a fugitive highwayman, almost like a Robin Hood, you might say, a little bit of that kind of feel to David. He's on the run, living off his own wits, and he's pursued by a backslidden king whose jealousy and paranoia perceives that David is Saul's enemy. David is the king's enemy, and he's a threat to the throne, and yet there's no greater loyal supporter than David. But Saul doesn't see it because of his jealousy and his bitterness. And really, in reality, God himself is the only threat to Saul's throne. Saul is really the threat to all of Israel. Because he's left the Lord and he's gone his own way, he's really a self-motivated man at this point. And so our story, it picks up with David and his men hiding out in the wilderness. It's about 30 miles south of Jerusalem. And if you've ever been to Israel, you know the area. And it's by the Dead Sea, about 10 miles west of En Gedi. And En Gedi is a place where David was hiding out, but he has just left that area and he's gone to Carmel. Not Mount Carmel, but Carmel. That's a place that's notorious for the vineyards. It's the land of the vineyards. And the whole territory here, it's a desert area. The whole territory was notorious for robbers and thieves. And they would lie in wait for unsuspecting shepherds who were shepherding their sheep and to plunder them. And Nabal is a very wealthy man. And he's gone to shear his sheep. And he's left his herdsmen with the many flocks unprotected. But David has come and David has protected them. And that's pretty much where the story is at in chapter 25. But first, we have to look at the fact that Samuel, that wonderful man of God, that last judge of Israel, remember the book of Judges, all the judges? You had Gideon, you had Samson, you had a lot of Deborah. And now Samuel's the last judge, but he's the first prophet. He started the school of the prophets. You might say a Bible college. You know, you think of a Bible college, the first Calvary Chapel Bible College. And now there are a number of Bible colleges. Well, Samuel had the school of the prophets. And then it was carried on by other prophets like Elijah and others. And so he's passing off the scene now. And then Samuel died and all Israel gathered together and mourned for him and buried him at his house in Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. So there it is, this wonderful man of faith, this man that the people would look up to. And notice they loved him so much, he had so much influence over all Israel. All Israel mourned for him. Boy, you know, when men of influence, women of influence for that matter, those that are powerful leaders, but very godly leaders, those that are powerful pastors, that like Billy Graham, Chuck Smith, when they pass off the scene, the nation mourns. Sometimes even those that are not necessarily godly, they mourn for the fact that this man had a long history of integrity and longevity, and he was a wonderful man of God. Now, I don't believe in God, someone might say, but he was a good man. They'll say that. And you see, that's especially for us who are believers, when the godly pass off the scene, it's sad. Because we know that the nation is wanting because of that. We don't know who's going to take their place or what's going to take their place, because we know that they were prayer warriors. We know that they were shining lights. They were salt upon the earth that savored, made life flavorful, especially in the things of the Lord. And the psalmist said, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases to be, for the faithful disappear from among the sons of men." Psalms 12. That's a sad thing for a nation when that happens. And you know, it seems like the United States of America, it seems like it's getting more corrupt and there's less godly. At least you don't see them on the air anymore. They don't bring them on. They bring some popular celebrity pastor on that really doesn't preach the gospel or pulls the punches. And you don't have that real godly influence that stands up for the gospel in one way, Jesus Christ. And those that are doing evil things are evil, and yet God can forgive. Billy Graham, boy, what a powerful man on air. Franklin Graham, but they don't have Franklin on air anymore because Franklin's too radical. But it's almost like they're passing off the scene. And what do we have? We have the liberal guys on that supposedly represent Christianity. And it's a sad day for a nation when they pass off the scene. And you see, I think it gives and it's the same thing for Israel, because it gives the enemies of the gospel, it gives them more courage to go after those that are godly. Ooh, this godly man passed off the scene. Let's go get the other godly people. So now, David, here, he comes into focus here in verse 2. Well, verse 1, now he's in the wilderness area, the desert area. Now, there was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel. And the man was very rich, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. And it came about while he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now, the man's name was Nabal, and his wife's name was Abigail, and the woman was intelligent and beautiful in appearance, but the man was harsh and evil in his dealings, and he was a Calebite. Well, Maon and Carmel are fairly close. They're about a mile away from each other. And Carmel, the land of vineyards, I mentioned. But here it mentions Nabal's wife, Abigail. She's intelligent and beautiful, and Nabal harsh and evil. And yet notice his heritage, a Cabalite. This man, Joshua and Caleb? Caleb was a man of faith. Only two were able to go into the promised land. Joshua, who took over Moses' place, and Caleb, who said at 85 years old, I'm ready to go. I'm as strong today as I was 45 years ago to go in and take the land. Boy, what a great heritage. But you see, he was very far removed from the faith of his forefathers. And I wonder, as I look at this, how did the two ever get together? She is such a wonderful gal, and he's such a hard-hearted man. How did they ever get together? Maybe he poured on the charm, and then when he got her, he married her, then he changed to what he really was. We see what he really was. Don't know how they got together, but sometimes that happens. Sometimes you see, you know, maybe it's a wonderful guy or a wonderful girl, and they get hooked up with someone that's like, oh, are you going to marry her? He's kind of like a Jezebel. Are you sure you want to do that? He's kind of like a Nabal. You sure you want to do that? And sometimes you wonder. You wonder, what is it that attracts somebody? And of course, back in those days, the parents would arrange the marriage. So maybe that was what happened. And the parents saw, wow, here's a wealthy family. She's going to be well taken care of. So let's marry them off when they're just little kids. You see, they arranged the marriage when they're young, and then when they got marrying age, then they would, you know, marry. And it was really the right of the parents to arrange the marriage. So maybe that was it. But it was a bad situation, especially for her. And I just wonder if maybe the reason that God gave permission, remember when they approached Jesus, they said, is it law for us to divorce our wife because Moses gave us permission to do that? He commanded us. No, he didn't command you. He gave you permission to do it. Why? And I always think it's probably for the sake of women like Abigail, who's married to guys like Nabal. But the woman could not divorce the husband. The husband had to divorce the woman. So I just wonder if it were situations like this, God permitted it back in that time because some of the husbands were so hard-hearted. Well, it is a real story of Beauty and the Beast here. And if you're wondering about what kind of mate you should get, I think if Abigail had read my book, The Right Choice, she probably would have never married Nabal. Of course, I didn't write it then, so she couldn't have read it. But actually, that really deals with, you know, if you're a young person, you're going to get married, get the book. Find out what kind of qualities you should have and what kind of qualities you should look for in a mate. But this was a bad situation. But, you know, Abigail, again, she was such a beautiful woman and really related rightly to the Lord. And it says, now David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep. So David sent 10 young men, and David said to the young men, go up to Carmel, visit Nabal and greet him in my name. And thus you shall say, have a long life, peace be to you, peace to your house, and peace to all that you have. And now I have heard that you have shears. Now your shepherds have been with us, and we have not insulted them, nor have they missed anything all the days they were in Carmel. Ask your young men, and they will tell you. Therefore, let my young men find favor in your eyes, for we have come on a festive day. Please give whatever you find at hand to your servants and to your son David. So notice David is very polite. He's very respectful. And it was just common courtesy in that land, and especially to Nabal, he should have known better that there were marauding bands. And if you left shepherds unprotected, these marauding bands could kill the shepherds and take the flocks. It was well known. And it would just be common courtesy that here David and his men protected what belonged to Nabal. And they came on a festive day. Notice that in verse 8. In other words, there was an abundance. That's the idea. An abundance. And David just humbly asked, you know, just give us what's at hand, you know, just, you know, for, you know, maybe to feed us, you know, give us a lunch for what, you know, we did. Obviously, it would be more than a lunch. But when you think about it, David, wait, he's the future king of Israel. He could have issued an executive order and made a new law that says kings on the run have a right to take whatever they want. But he didn't do that. He was an honorable man. A less honorable man wouldn't have done that, would have just, you know, taken what they wanted, just did what they wanted. But he's appealing too. He's wanting to let the best in Nabal come out. There's not much good in Nabal, but he's appealing to his kindness and his generosity. Isn't that good? He's just given him, you know, he's not looking for evil in him. And yet, notice in verse 9, it said, when David's young men came, they spoke to Nabal according to all these words in David's name. Then they waited. But Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants today who are each breaking away from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my meat and that I have slaughtered for my shears and give it to men whose origin I do not know? He knew who David was. He wasn't stupid. He knew exactly who David was. David's dishonored by this man Nabal. He is harsh. He is evil in his dealings. Nabal's not ignorant, but Nabal is arrogant. He's very arrogant. You see, David did have a reputation throughout the land. I mean, even the Philistines knew who David was. Is this not David, the king of Israel, whom a song was written? Saul is king, killed his thousands, David his 10,000s. He knew who he was. But David's reputation meant nothing to Nabal in his harshness. And so he says, oh, what is he, a runaway servant, a runaway slave, trying to make a name for himself? Hey, Saul's on the throne, David's not. Breaking away from Saul's kingdom to be a big shot. You know, that's the really the animosity and what Nabal is saying. Humiliating David in front of David's men. Nabal's not impressed. And yet he should be. I mean, we all should be impressed when God works through a person's life and that person remains humble. David had 600 warriors, fighters. They could have wiped out whatever Nabal had and taken what they wanted, but he didn't. He was humble. You know, and when someone like that, when we know of a reputation of someone like that and they remain humble, we should be impressed. Now, I also wonder, just wonder, doesn't excuse Nabal at all, but I just wonder if Nabal had heard what Ahimelech had done, had given supplies to David, and then Saul came up and destroyed 85 of the priests. And you think Nabal was thinking, if I give to David, Saul finds out, he's going to come and wipe me out. Well, I don't know, but the words that Nabal are using toward David, it doesn't seem to indicate that. Now, I think if I was a Nabal and I knew what happened to Ahimelech and David came, I'd say, hey, David, look, if I supply you and Saul finds out, he's going to wipe me out. He's going to wipe my household out. I'll tell you what, David. I'm going to pretend you didn't even come here. And you go back to my sheep shears and rob whatever you want. And when Saul comes, I'll just say, I don't know, David robbed me. He took what he wanted. Man, I was here shearing sheep. Sorry. You know, I don't know, but he's very arrogant. He's very demeaning toward David. And so notice David in verse 12. David's young men retraced their way and went back, and they came and told him according to all these words. And David said to his young men, each of you gird on his sword. So each man girded on his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And about 400 men went up behind David, while 200 stayed with the baggage. So here, David. David is going to retaliate. He wants vengeance for doing a good deed to Nabal and then being slighted and being insulted for it. And yet, doesn't the scripture say, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay? Even Ecclesiastes, actually David's son, eventually writes this, which I think is interesting. Do not take to heart all the words which are spoken, lest you hear your servant cursing you, for you also have realized that you likewise have many times cursed others. I mean, you've opened your mouth, and it wasn't in a positive way. Maybe you spoke against someone. So really, in Ecclesiastes, Solomon's saying, you know, if you overhear something that somebody says about you and it kind of demeans you, don't get too upset about it. Have you ever walked up on people, they didn't see you, and they were talking about you? I have. I'm not going to tell you what they were saying or what I heard, but I saw them get very, very nervous afterwards. And I like to just pour hot coals upon them and go, oh, hey, praise the Lord. Are you guys talking about the Lord? No, but I have. I've walked up on people, and then they've just, you know, I could tell. You see, don't get too upset when you hear that, because, you know, you're of a sin nature as well. You know, you probably said things you didn't want people to hear. And so, but notice, this is the interesting thing to me as I look at this. Saul wanting to kill David, and David lets him go. Now, David wants to kill Nabal because Nabal insults him.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of 1 Samuel 25 and 26. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our media archive. We really appreciate any support from our listeners. Your encouragement and prayer go a long way for this ministry. If you'd like to support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online at CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. And for those who would like to be a regular sponsor, you can set up a recurring gift on the schedule of your choice. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
Because we came.
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in 1 Samuel 25 and 26. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.